I speak Sami language. It's not English. It's kind of.
It's really Sami is its own language. Yes.
It's Sanglish. Sami English.
Samerican.
Samerican. Samerican.
Welcome to the Red Hill Podcast, a podcast by Salukis for Salukis, and anyone else that wants to listen. Welcome to the Red Hill Podcast, another episode. I am your host, Mr. Potts, and with me today is...
Louisa.
And Sammy.
Yes. Louisa, you have heard before. This is her second episode with us. She was on our homecoming preview episode, but this time, this episode's all about Louisa.
Yeah.
It's not about homecoming. It's not about, you know... It's going to be about Louisa and her journey here to America, and Sammy's here for moral support.
Yay!
Sammy's here to ask the hard-hitting questions.
What is your favorite color?
Purple.
Hard-hitting.
Because if you'd answered wrong, I would have hit you hard.
Of course.
That's the type of journalism we have around here.
Scary.
So, Louisa, you come to us from the nation of France.
Exact.
Where in France do you come from? What's the name of your city or your...
My city?
Yeah.
Or my, like, state?
Your state and then your city, I guess.
The state is Normandy. It's pretty famous around here, right?
Oh, okay, the Normandy.
Yeah, the Normandy.
For history buffs.
Exactly. And the name of my city is Thiberville.
That one's not as popular.
No.
That one's not as well known as...
As well as Bridgeport, so it's not.
This is why Americans stop at Normandy, because that other one is a little harder to say. Okay, say that one more time.
Thiberville.
Yeah, we're so going to stick with Normandy. And you said it's about the same size as Bridgeport, or at least it's fairly, so it's actually pretty small then.
It is very small.
Do you have a lot of countryside with it? Or
exactly.
Is it,
it's the exact same as here. It's like,
so when you came here, you were like, oh, okay, yeah.
I'm home. This is home. Farmers everywhere, fields, nothing, and yeah, the same.
Because Kate, when she said one of the biggest surprises was the difference, because she comes from a city.
Yeah, she comes from a big city, yeah.
And... You know, she was out here. She's like, wow, there's a lot of grass. But you're used to that.
Yeah, I was. I am.
In the quiet of the countryside and thing. So a lot of farms. You guys grow like, what do you guys usually grow with your farms? Or you said there was a lot of farmers. Is there a lot of farmers in your area?
Yeah, my whole, like when I went, the town is where I went to middle school and it was only farmers. Like you could see like, ninth grader, because high school goes to sixth to eighth grade. You could see like eighth grader coming to school with a tractor.
like actually crazy. Driving.
Like he was a normal. Like nobody would be shocked.
Wait till FFA week. Because we actually do have tractor day where everyone shows up with their tractor. Not everybody,
really
but
fun.
A lot of all the FFA kids will bring their tractors to school. So you'll feel right at home. And they'll park them in the school parking lot and things like that.
They wouldn't park though. It was just like dropping off. But, but
not
at this
no,
point.
No, we will park.
No, they
will park.
They take up a whole parking lot with their tractors.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But right now they're all in the field. So the tractors aren't available.
Yeah.
Because they're all in the field. So now you bring up something interesting. You said high school. And Sammy, I saw that kind of got your attention too. Mm-hmm. High school is 6th through 8th grade.
That's middle school, 6th to 9th, and then high school is 10th to 12th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought you said high school.
It's like, no, I say middle school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And then it's two different buildings, like not the same at all.
Normally it is. This is kind of a unique. Actually,
we're just special.
Like not the same school. You know, it's different. Mm-hmm. Like even Lorenzo is a different building, but it's like Lorenzo High School.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's actually different schools. Not the same name, not the same... Mm-hmm. County and everything.
Now, a lot of the schools that we played last year when we were in the conference we were in last year, they were a lot of those schools were like kindergarten through 12th grade in the same building. It's like everybody. It was the only school in town. It was everybody
Which
in the same.
Which that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was as annoyed as you guys get with junior hires running around. Imagine if you had kindergartners running around.
That'd be adorable.
Oh, look at you little guys.
Why are you guys here? Because they're so small.
That'd be cute.
Mm-hmm. You'd be like BGS all over again.
That'd be fun, though.
Actually, in my hometown, the school used to be kindergarten through 12th grade. That used to be the standard.
What if you open library 9th hour for BGS?
No.
That'd be crazy.
No.
Wait, isn't that how it used to be at Sumner?
I think so. Because
I think my mom went to kindergarten there.
There used to be kindergarten at Sumner School. But then they also had Petty School and Washington School. There used to be a lot of elementary schools around here. And then everyone kind of gathered together to look for, like, the older classes. Mm-hmm. So you guys start in, like, how's your school structure? You said, like, 6 through 8 or 9 was considered middle school, mm-hmm. and then 10 through 12. What would...
So first to 5, just like here, is a grade school. And then we have 3 years of kindergarten. We start at 3.
Ooh.
Yeah. You guys only do 2. Like, you have pre-K and K. Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. We split between pre-kindergarten and kindergarten.
And it's like small sections, middle section, big section, and then you go first grade. So it's like 3 years of kindergarten, basically.
Wow.
We kind of have that because we have the kids that do pre-K for 2 years.
So it would be pretty common for 2 years of preschool, mm-hmm. and then 1 year of kindergarten, and then you go into first grade. Mm-hmm. Some kids only do 1 year of preschool. Yeah. Because preschool's not technically required, I don't think.
Pre-K? I don't think so. And it's like really, it's only the morning, right? Mostly at BGS at least.
There's a morning class and an afternoon class, I think.
Yeah, they don't.
But
do
you
both.
Only go for half a day.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then.
And we have like the actual school days at like.
Because mm-hmm. my wife works at Head Start, which is a type of preschool. It's not in the public school, but it's preschool. But they go all day, but their afternoon is nap time.
Yeah.
The kids have to have a nap. Which is sounds amazing,
that's
actually.
That's kind of how it was in only, because kindergarten was in only, and we had, like, a super long nap time. It was great, though.
Yeah, they go from, like, 1 to 3 napping.
Mm-hmm.
I think like, one of the class periods needs to be nap time here. That would actually be pretty amazing.
That'd be great.
Like, make lunch 4th, 5th, and 6th, and then 7th is nap,
mm-hmm.
and then 8th and 9th, we finish strong.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect.
I think that would actually work out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of the things that we want to talk about is the fact that you ended up in Southern Illinois. From Normandy, France, all the way to Bridgeport, Illinois.
Yeah.
What is the process? So how did you're part of an exchange program.
Yeah.
I take it it's run through your school.
No.
Oh, so it's something totally different then.
Yeah. I think all school, they have like a program that can take you to Europe, but outside it's just on like private, really rich schools. So I was not in one, obviously, since I was in the countryside. So it was just like I think it's Belgian. It's like a private organization that does the work for you. You have to pay them, obviously, mm-hmm. and then give them like a big file about what they ask about you. And then they do the work for you. Like they look up a host family for you. They buy your insurance and they buy your plane tickets, like everything that has to be done for the like journey. And that's it. Like, you don't really pick. You just do it, and then, yeah, it's really long paperwork, files and stuff. That was annoying, but that's something good. So.
Like, how detailed are the questions get about you? Like, are you, like, sitting there at any point, like, why do you have to know this?
Exactly. I think I had to write a letter. My parents had to write one, too. I had to make a video. And then I saw my school transcript since, like, I think 9th grade. I was a senior. It made no sense. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
well, they want to make sure you're going to be like a good student when you're here,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And I had to answer like about 45 questions about me. And it was like some things kind of made sense about like going abroad and living abroad on your own. But some also, I don't really remember them. But it was like what thing are you the most proud of? Why do you want to know that? Yeah.
I guess... I wonder if part of that's like a personality thing. So they kind of match you with the personality of your family.
I think so.
Because that's a big deal. If you get matched with like the wrong type of family, it can really kind of break your experience here.
Yeah,
I would
definitely.
Think. If you're living with them for like 10 months.
Yeah.
And you're like trusting these people that you've never met before to take you in and that you live there for like almost a year.
Yeah, thinking that way is a bit crazy. Like I'm just a stranger living in some stranger's house.
Yeah. You went to the other side of the world.
Yeah. Basically.
And you're like,
crushing ocean.
Yeah. Oh, you guys look trustworthy. I'll just live in your house for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to do it, but according to the organization, the family are picked really, I don't know how to say it in English, you know? Mm-hmm. They take a long time to pick them and to make sure they're good people. And
you say very careful. Yeah,
yeah, carefully. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I guess that's, I wonder if they had to answer a lot of questions too about themselves, kind of like similar questions just to kind of see how they match up and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they have to send pictures of their house, people coming to their houses to check if everything's all right and stuff.
It's almost like adopting a kid here.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what, it's like a short-term adoption basically. So I guess that would make sense. When did you start the process?
I signed up in July 2024. So a year before coming here.
So yeah, so really most of that year has been, when did you find out you were placed and you were going to come?
In May 2025.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I was, kind of lucky because most people get them in, July or August.
So, really, you were early.
Yeah. I know the girls in the school get them in January, but it's because their host family is the first time hosting, so they took it, seriously and really at the start to be sure and stuff. But since mine knew what to do, they just picked one at the same time as everybody else.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
You know? But,
Your host family has hosted before, so.
Yeah.
That's got to be handy. That's got to be.
My mom was glad. They was not like crude people because the girls that were there before told me they wanted ice and everything. So yeah.
Oh.
My mom felt better.
There's definitely stories on both sides of the aisle. There's really, really good stories where the people they stay in touch for years after the fact. And then there's some that did not work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some creepy stories that just scare people.
Yeah.
But I think if you would be the other way around, too, if, Sammy went to Europe, that would be like...
I'm going to go and just, randomly go to your house and visit you and live with you for a year.
I mean, you can. I mean, I don't see any problems.
She has 45 questions for you to answer first.
Yeah, you need to make a letter in French and a video in French.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, you probably need to speak the language, too. That's...
You can teach me French.
We don't really need to. They ask for, a really low level. We had to take an English test to pass and make it through the following paperwork, but it's really easy and I think everybody makes it.
How long have you been speaking English though? How long have you been studying English?
I've been studying it since I'd say fifth grade, but I've been speaking it since COVID. So 5 years.
So really about 5 years.
Yeah. And school don't really teach you English. It's
not too far away from French though. It is, but
it kind of is. I don't know. It's just not a hard language to learn because there's no, there's no things that the verb says the same in every.
There's no rules with English.
Yeah, yeah.
There are no rules. Every rule we have, we break.
And you have one word and you can use it for 1,000 things. One word has 12 meanings. So just easy. Uh-huh.
And the words that are pronounced differently but spelled exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
Read and read. And
that's not funny, though.
How long did it take you to learn the different types of twos and theirs? They're three different twos and three different theirs.
That's not the hardest, I think. Two was okay, theirs was hard. Because I was what is that? But then it's just practicing and people saying, it's not the right one.
Pronouns can be tricky in of itself. Because when I actually took French for 2 years in high school. I did French 1 and French 2. And yeah.
Can you speak it?
Je ne parle pas français. No.
Yeah. What at least you know that.
It means I don't speak French. It took me 2 years to learn that.
It's useful at least.
Yeah. I mean, je suis Steven.
Yeah.
I am Steven. So you would say je suis Sammy.
Je suis.
Because je would be the I. And.
But, we don't
but
really say
But sui is
that.
Not am, so yeah, it's.
It's saying yo soy Samia.
Exactly.
Yeah, basically.
But we don't really say I am. We say my name is
Right.
Literally, I call myself. But yeah, that's kind of weird.
I call myself Steve.
Yeah, that feels really, shake.
I don't know what you call me, but I call myself.
Exactly.
So you found out in May that you were coming over, what becomes the preparation process from there?
Buying a suitcase. Do you have one?
Yet you're still trying to find one.
Yeah.
Isn't it a little late? Did you just bring everything over in a garbage bag?
Yeah, I just had everything on my hands.
literally carry-on luggage.
Yeah. No, I think it was not too different from home, so I had everything I needed. But, like, I think the what people, like, care about is if you go to the States, well, like, the weather is really different from home, buying clothes that you need for the States. Like, if I were to go to Texas, maybe I needed, like, some summer clothes, you know what I mean? Or to Alaska, I probably needed some, like, jackets, you know?
Definitely a jacket.
And I think it's more like getting ready, like in your head, like that you're actually leaving and stuff. And yeah, it's just it.
But then also, you know, you got to keep the sizes and weight for the airplane and stuff. So at the same time, there's that added challenge of.
I think the weight was okay because like the size just makes it impossible to put too much thing inside. It was just closing the suitcase because it was closed and it was like, you know, huge. Bulging. It gets huge really easily. So, yeah, closing it was challenging, but I did it. So.
How big is your family back home? That you live with, basically.
I only live with my parents because my siblings are, like, old. But I have two older siblings. Yeah, they're really old.
Oh, you're the baby of the family then.
Yeah, they're old. My brother's like 39 and my sister's 35. So, yeah.
Wow.
They're not old yet.
It's almost 40.
Oh, 40 is old.
I know.
For those just listening to the podcast, I'm currently staring at them with righous indignation because...
It's old like for a sibling 47? When you're a high schooler.
I turned 40 almost a decade ago.
Yeah, but you didn't have siblings in high school.
That's true. I did not. I have one older and one younger sibling, but how many siblings do you have?
Two.
But they're already... So that's quite a gap.
Yeah. It's like half siblings, though, but still.
Oh, okay.
I don't call them half siblings.
No.
It's my siblings.
Sometimes your siblings are just siblings.
Yeah.
So were your siblings already out of the house when you were born then?
Yeah. According to my parents, my sisters lived there, but I don't remember.
I have no proof of
this. When I was born, they were 17 and 21. So I think she lived there for like probably a year or two.
Oh, okay.
Just left for university.
So you were kind of an only child for a little bit.
You're practically an only child, basically. Like I lived as an only child. Yeah. But my parents only had to take care of me and stuff, but I was not the same time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, we only had one child, so we know the whole raising the only child thing.
Yeah.
It means you can't get away with anything because your parents can pay, both of them can pay attention to you. They don't have to divide and conquer.
But still, like, my big siblings did everything bad before me, so my dad was more nice with me. He knew, like, I was chill compared to them, so.
You were the angel child.
Yeah, basically.
We'll have to believe you because we can't, like, call your parents up and verify that, so we'll just take your word for it.
My dad can't speak English, so he won't tell you.
Okay.
I mean, he can in French, but... That won't make it.
We'll just assume that he's like using nice words.
Yeah. Can your mom speak English?
Neither.
Oh,
I think it's even worse.
Oh. Can either of your siblings speak English?
Yeah, my sister speaks really good English. She lived like abroad too for a while. And I don't know if my brother can. No idea. I don't really speak anything else but about soccer with him, so I can't really tell you.
Is it fairly common in France for a lot of people to know English, or is it actually not that common?
No, like in Europe, we're known as the worst country in English.
Oh,
wow.
I think it's because of the older generations, though, because people my age who speak English a little bit more, I'm guessing. But no, it's really common for your parents to not know a word of English.
Everything that I've always seen was like, Europe always like knows so much English.
I think it's like Europe that's got like, languages that only them use, you know, like French is kind of worldwide, but like countries like Croatia or Estonia, the language is like nobody knows them.
I don't even know 2 million to speak it,
it's pointless. So they know English because they have to.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like a universal second language.
Yeah, but like French is just, it's in France, Canada, Africa, everywhere. So there's a lot of people speaking it, so we don't really need English, but.
I mean, if you had been put in Louisiana, they speak French down there. Well, Creole French. It's a little bit different, I think.
Yeah, it is. There was a guy in the carrier fair that talked to me in Creole French with an American accent. I had a hard time understanding, but it was so good. So that was surprising. I did not expect that, though. But
how is it being in English all the time, like having to be in English mode 24 hours a day? Is it kind of stressful for your brain or a little tiring sometimes? Or
the first day of school was like awful. I just went home and cried because it was too much English. Like I couldn't like, you know, like somebody speaks English to me and then some people are whispering behind me in English and the announcements in English. I cannot understand everything. So I was like, it's getting better, like understanding. But I was kind of used to it because like everything was in English back home because I was doing English major, English literature. So it was okay, but it's just the fact of everything being in English. And if I need something, not being able to speak French. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because like, it was French class anyway. So if I was not understanding it, I could just switch back to French and say, hey, what is this? Mm-hmm. But I could not hear.
And that would help you if there was another like French exchange student here.
But I mean, I'm glad because so I don't speak French and I actually improve in English.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Because I feel like with all three of the Germans, it's like they can talk to each other in German. So it doesn't like really help the English.
But it's kind of easy because they speak English a lot, though. And I think they're just better than us in English anyway.
Yeah. I love whenever I just walk up on Fina and Mara and they're just like sitting there like rapid German.
That's terrifying.
We call it their secret language.
I really think English is the slowest speaking language in the world because I listen to you speak, you know, on the phone. At the end of the day, you're talking to either, you know, parents or boyfriend, and you're just kind of rattling off the French language. You listen to, you know, Fina and Mara, and they're just rattling off stuff. And then here we are just sitting there talking kind of like this sometimes.
Like some but people say things. I speak fast, like, naturally, so I think it's even faster for you guys hearing it.
Yeah.
I think it's speak too fast. Must be a European thing.
Well, I don't know, probably. But yeah. Did you hear like, Kate speaking Italian on the phone? That's the craziest.
No, I don't think I've heard one of Kate's.
It's so fast.
Call home.
Kate's Italian, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they speak really fast, like all the time, like Spanish people and Italian people. Mm-hmm.
So when you come here, you kind of have ideas of what you're wanting to experience, things like that. You've been through homecoming. You survived that.
I did.
And if you hear the homecoming episode, you know that Luisa almost rage quit homecoming because she felt like everyone was hiding everything from her. Exactly. So now you're on the other side of it.
Spoiler, they were not. Nobody knew what was going on.
It's just we had no idea what was going on. I was paranoid. And I told you that. I'm like, it's that nobody knows what's going on. That's just how it is. You are truly getting the true homecoming experience because nobody knows what's going on until it actually happens.
Nobody has any idea.
Yeah.
That's part of the thing that makes it exciting.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, like, even some of the student council members don't know everything.
Because I was asking, like, Amelia most of the time, and she was like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Also, they're not allowed to tell us a lot of things, too.
Well, that's also part of it. I mean, this is just when you're in a laid-back area like we are. I mean, it's pretty laid-back around here. We're not, like, intense or anything like that. So now that you've had that experience, what's something else, not necessarily even just school-related, but being here in America, what's something you're looking forward to experiencing or that you're planning on or that you're really looking forward to?
I don't really know. I really wanted to go to Chicago because we had a trip planned, but it's canceled. You know, probably told you that already. But probably like all the sports game that you guys do in like huge stadiums, like university games, that would be so exciting because we don't do like as much as you guys do for sports.
I need to take you to a baseball game sometime.
You need to.
Yeah, she needs to experience Busch Stadium in St. Louis.
Well, like one of the very first weeks that Kate was here, they took her to one.
Yeah.
I think we lost that game, but that's okay.
It's still fun. Even when they play bad, it's still fun to be in the atmosphere.
I've never seen baseball before, like in real life. Even on TV, we don't play baseball.
Yeah.
Not really.
I feel bad for you. It's fun. A lot of people say that it's boring to watch, but I love it.
If you understand what's going on, it can be very exciting.
Yeah.
I'm kind of used to not understanding anything at this point. You know, football is one of the main things.
Football is just confusing.
You have experienced high school football for the first time, and one of the first times you experienced, you were trying to take pictures of it.
Yeah.
For the yearbook, because you are part of the media club.
I am.
That's one of the big things. That's, you know, podcasting and yearbook photos and just it's funny you talked about being overwhelmed because like the announcements were in English and stuff, and now you're one of the people that do the morning. You've done them like twice this week alone.
Yeah.
So exactly. You're now one of those voices that do the morning announcements, which is really brave because you're like, oh, I'll step up and I'll make announcements in a language that's not my own language. And
yeah, I'm glad we can do that. I think that helps because like everybody's nice with us. I mean, sometimes people make fun of our accents or the way we don't know things, but like, it's okay. Everybody tried to like push us to speak English better and more. And so it's really nice, like really. Yeah.
What's been one of the biggest surprises that you've experienced so far that like you weren't expecting or didn't know about, or it was something totally different than you thought it would be?
I was kind of expecting the food to be different, but not this much. Like the size of everything, the way you guys cook everything, the taste of everything. Like people told me it was like crazy different, but not that much. Like the bottle of milk, the first time I saw it, I was like, what is that?
And is it a good difference or a bad difference?
It's bad. Why do you put the unopened milk on the fridge? The milk is like not open yet and you put it on the fridge.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We buy it refrigerated and we
don't do that.
That's it'll go bad if you don't.
No,
it won't. It has an expiration date and whenever the expiration date. Once it's open.
I've been doing that for 18 years at home. I'm telling you, I've never been sick. If the milk is not open yet, you put it on the cabinet, and once it's open, you put it on the fridge. Yeah.
That's not how it's ever happened.
And the size of the bottle also was crazy, and I think the size of the like drinks or fries when you get to drive-in.
Yeah, that's a little obnoxious how big our portions are.
Yeah, it's quite small. It's like the size of a large in Europe, so...
So Luisa's American journey has been going for a couple months now, and it's going to go fast. There'll be a lot to experience.
It does.
But we look forward to kind of checking in probably in the springtime to see how any updates and things like that. See what like favorite food has been. We need to do a rundown like towards the end. Like, okay, what's been your favorite experience? What's been your favorite food? What's been your favorite that I think
we need to.
I think that episode would make you guys sad and all of us.
It'll make us sad because we're not going to think about those because it's only October right now. It's the time we're recording.
October.
I know. It's going to go way fast, and you guys like belong here now. So I mean, it's going to be weird to think
you're staying.
Yeah, we have those. Students that come and we forget you're not actually Salukis. We forget that you're not you're not always here and you're not going to be here next year.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like we have to go back home, and I mean not really me because I'm changing school anyway since I'm going to college. But like Fina and Myra, they have to go back to the same old high school and do the same old things. That would be so weird. Like to just go back in the past, basically.
After all the strange stuff that we've done here.
Yeah, all the new and stuff, and then you just go back to what was normal. So it's like. Kind of not your life, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're not going to be with all their friends and stuff because they're going to have to repeat that.
Not all of them. Only Mara repeats it, I think so. Kate doesn't. Fina does not, for sure.
Luckies.
And I don't know about... Lua is different because the school year is from February to November where she leaves.
Yeah, it's a... Brazil,
it's a south something.
We'll have to have her explain it on the Lua episode.
Yeah, because that's summer between December and January and the winter is July, August. Yeah, because it's the south.
That's crazy.
So they have Christmas during summer.
Oh.
That'd be so fun.
See that would be fun. Well, Santa I mean, we technically...
Christmas in July.
Yeah, a lot of us do Christmas in July anyway. Mm-hmm. A lot of stores and stuff like that. So, all right.
I don't really get that, but...
Yeah. Sell stuff. All right, that's going to be it for this episode. This one flew by way too fast. It's almost like we need like a four-parter or something like that, or like a Joe Rogan-style like four-hour episode, that type of thing. But until next time, I am Mr. Potts, and this has been...
Luisa.
Sammy.
That's it for the Red Hill Podcast. Bye, everybody.
Bye.